happening.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ha ha! We're back. And her friends from Pathfinders. We made pizza today. Did they have any of the fruit stuff? No? Oh. No, see, now they're leaving me alone. Isn't that nice? I mean, you guys at home, don't you wish the women would leave you alone just for a little while sometimes when you're ready to do something, at a time like this at least, anyway. Welcome to the program. It's Blog Talk Radio, Candid Frank Live. Today is a monumental day. So if you hear 16-year-old girls chattering in the background, there's about 8-10 of them. They're having fun anyway. If they're too noisy, I apologize in advance, but you're going to have to live with it. One of them is my daughter. All right, so, wow. I mean, wow. Boy, was the CFL busy today, huh? Huh? Weren't they busy? They were like really busy today. The players changed uniforms. The Alouettes signed free agent cornerback Jeff Tisdale. He moved. They re-signed Williams and Diedrich and Hopkins. So that was yesterday, though. That wasn't today. So the Alouettes are making their moves. And, of course, the Montreal Alouettes are taking this season serious. Bear in mind, this is a good organization. They're not going to sit down and they're not going to lay down. They're not going to sit down. They're going to stand right up and be in your face. And let me tell you, some of the moves they've made, this isn't the end, by the way. Let's remind you that free agency is just the beginning. Then we end up with the young players that are free to negotiate with to fill out some of the gaps. Some of the players who don't sign contracts will find themselves on training camp rosters. Some of them, believe it or not, as does happen from time to time, they actually make the team. So, you know, it's not hard to make it as a free agent, and a free agent without a contract after, let's say, a week of free agency, or actually probably only a couple of days. Now, the Ticats have boosted their defense with addition of defensive back Evan McCullough. For those of you that find that name familiar, you're probably Argo fans. If you're Ticat fans, you're snickering. I can hear you. I can hear you through my headphones. Former first-rounders sign with Ticats, and those first-rounders are Brian Buckle and Shamri Williams. And they signed them today. Now, Obalstiston is coming back to coach again this year. Paul Obalstiston. Two problems I have. Pronouncing names and spelling them. Saying them is the worst thing. That's not a problem. That's just a terrible thing that I have to do. But Obalstiston will be returning to the Ticat staff. Of course, special teams is his expertise. Simmons and Smith avoided free agency, and Simmons and Smith being Brian Simmons and Bo Smith. So they got contract extensions, which is the primary way that teams keep the players that they had. And if you really like somebody, you know, you don't get too many 4- and 5-year contracts in the CFL, but a 2-year contract, that's long term in the CFL. Trust me when I say that. Stevenson re-signed, Darryl Stevenson. Of course, he was a running back, and he did really well this year, and they're glad to have him. He's a former Hat Creighton winner, so he's coming back to the Ticats. And I don't know how that deal is going to work out with the Essex. I still can't forget that deal. That to me, is a key deal for Hamilton. I think that deal is going to mean a lot to them. And hopefully it pays dividends for them. Now, a team that hasn't done much yet this year, and that's, of course, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Blue and Gold have not been very, very busy, but they agreed to terms with Canadian offensive lineman Mark DeWitt. They re-signed slot back Clarence Denmark. And this is the one I really like. The Investors Group Field construction photos. So just look up on the CFL website and you'll be able to look at the construction photos of the new stadium going up in Winnipeg. I have a lot of friends in Winnipeg and I really do love the city. I think it's a great city, just like all the Canadian cities are. But Winnipeg has a corner that they're well known for all the right reasons. Frozen noses and frozen fingers, Portage and Main. I've never been there, but I know that corner. That's what Winnipeg's all about. Winnipeg is a tough place to play football in the middle of the winter. They like playing it like Green Bay out there in Raw, and they do a great job of it, as do Edmonton, Calgary as well. Now, we in Toronto are spoiled by the Dome, and the Dome is a great thing to have. So if you want, you can look at the CFL.ca webpage, and you'll be able to follow what we've talked about here today and get a closer look at the players that maybe you might be interested in more detail. Winnipeg Blue Bombers complete our East Division. We'll do the Argos at the very end. For those of you that are wondering why I haven't done the Argos yet, because I'm not going to. Now, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have made some great moves. They signed Dwight Anderson. They re-signed Tyron Brackenridge and Brendan Tamman. And they also added to their coaching staff. So, you know, they've been very busy. And they're obviously a team that wants to win the Grey Cup no less than or no more than anyone else, any other team. They all want to win as much. The difference is, do you make the commitment to winning? Because that's really what determines what makes a winning team or a losing team. It's the commitment and the successful way in which you manage the team. And this Saskatchewan team is going for it. There's no doubt that they're going for it. You're not going to have a defense that's going to take a night off if you're playing Saskatchewan. If your secondary isn't wide awake, you're going to be done for. There's no other way to look at it. And for all my CFL friends, Hamilton, Toronto, Winnipeg, well, all of them, in fact, this team is going to be a tough team to beat, even though the Calgary Stampeders, after the Grey Cup, were given the favorites role for this year. Now, Saskatchewan and Ryderville has always been a great place to play. And, of course, the Stampeders, who I just mentioned were supposed to be the favorite this year, as you know, those are just words. Those words don't really mean that much. It's just talk, right? It's just talk. Yeah, they're going to win. Yes, they're going to do it. Now, I'm not saying to the Calgary fans that you're not going to win, but there ain't no luck, baby. You just don't win because you want to. You win because you're prepared to win. And some of the moves that have been made today are going to be regretted and be godsends. And some of them will be neutral, really, to be honest. But the key is going to be which GM makes the big moves that maybe lands or keeps a future Grey Cup MVP. That's what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for when you're signing a free agent. You're trying to keep all the guys that mean something to you. Local guys mean a lot to the team as well. It's part of the sales pitch. Tallestrip, local guy, Calgary, signed. We got him. He's ours. We want somebody, a local guy. Canadian players, they mean so much in the CFL. Now, that's not to suggest imports don't mean anything. But I really do believe that the imports, as good as they are, the table is set by the Canadians and the balance between the import and non-import ratio and the players you have ready to play. Don't underestimate talent strictly, and this sounds silly, on talent. You also have to look at who has the best Canadian players. They mean a lot. This is, after all, the Canadian Football League. So Fraser remains with the red and white. Eric Fraser, the safety, good for him. He stayed with the team. Now, Calgary hasn't been too busy yet in And, of course, in maintaining their free agents or signing free agents, Stanley Bryant stays with the team. So he signed coming off the free agent market. This offensive lineman is one of the key players for the Stampeders. They know it, and that's why they re-signed him. Now, you may not think they've done a lot, but I still think that Calgary is a team to concern yourself with if you're an opposition team. They're a good team, and they're a great team. They're both. So either way it comes, you're going to have a hard time playing against Calgary. And they're a team that's hungry. You know, after losing the Grey Cup, if you can't giddy up after that, if you can't strap on that saddle, get on that horse, and ride it hard, baby, you don't belong in the CFL. Because that's what the CFL is all about, making it to the Grey Cup and avenging a loss. Nobody in the CFL, import, non-import, coach, manager, fans, we hate losing the Grey Cup. It's like we wasted our time going to the game. So they better be fired up. Now, their provincial rivals, Edmonton, the Eskimos, they've done some moves. They have signed free agent offensive lineman Alexander Krusnik. Do you like him? You know, he went to Calgary. That means something. To school in Calgary, I mean. That must mean something to Edmonton. He was picked 27th overall in the draft last year, so they obviously think highly of him. And they should. He's a good player. And they will keep him this year. They don't plan on losing him this year. The Esks also signed defensive lineman Marcel Young. This defensive back has a lot of talent. And, you know, Edmonton has a lot of young talent, much like their hockey team. That's enough about hockey. So Edmonton's made their moves. That's one of the things we can talk about. Of course, the BC Lions, way out there in the West Coast, they've brought back Aluminium, Corey Banks. I mean, these guys are serious too. Hamilton, being one of the CAT teams, and BC being the other CAT team, they both have the same motivation. These CATs have 9 lives. Last year, both the Thai CATs and the BC Lions, both of those teams, were very disappointed. And you know what? They should have been disappointed. They should have been disappointed for their fans. They should have been disappointed for themselves. And you can look at these two teams as two teams that really, really want to undo what happened last year, almost as bad as Calgary. Two great organizations, two great teams. And finally, the Toronto Argonauts. Now, what I want to know is, did anything happen in Argoland today? Does anybody out there know if anything happened in Argoland? I'm not sure. Did anything important happen? Was there anything of any kind of importance? Well, we know that recently Jim Barker was extended. They had a few free agents. We talked about Hamilton taking McCullough. That has to be a bad thing for the Argos. But they made some moves. One of the moves they made, they re-signed this kid that nobody knew last year when the season started. At this point in the year, other than John Granger, if you talk to anyone other than John Granger, they could not tell you who really Chad Kackert was. John believed in him. And John will be on the show a little later on. And he'll be telling you all how important the move today was the official signing of Chad Kackert. That's right. Chad Kackert has signed again with the Argonauts. He'll be back. Yes, he will. The bowling ball is back on the Argo Field at, of course, the Rogers Center, our beautiful dome. So Buddy will be back. That is just so good. I can't even tell you how happy it makes me feel to know that he's coming back. Now, I asked him on Facebook if he was willing to come on to this show and talk to us about his signing. Will he answer? Maybe. Maybe not. Will he come on? Maybe. Maybe not. But one thing's for sure, he'll be coming back onto the field. He'll be taking those handoffs from Ricky Ray. He'll be bouncing around in the backfield, and then in open space, he will be hunted down by defenders who will not be able to take him down. He will bounce off them and take another 3-4 yards. Yes, that is what the Argo fans and Argo management expect with this re-signing. Another signing that is impressive, and another local guy, James Yurichuk, he has signed with the Argonauts. Now, they lost McCullough. They've got Yurichuk. How is that? Is that a switch? Is that a good move, do you think? Do you think maybe the Argos still have to find more guys, more linebackers, more guys that can make those hits, read those plays, make those plays, hit with authority? One of the things the Argos did last year was they hit with authority. When you were hit, you stayed hit. Their defense under Chris Jones was incredible. The defense, as much as the offense got all the ink, but Buddy, ladies, the defense is what brought them to the Grey Cup. And I don't think the offense would be upset with me saying that. As I said, Jim Barker was re-signed. Wonderful signing. I like Jim Barker. Never met him. Never talked to him. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to discuss a couple of things, other things to be looking out for as a CFL fan. While this excitement is really at a fever pitch for CFL fans, when considering we're not in season. That's right. We are months away from the first game. And we're even, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't see the schedule come out yet. Am I wrong? Am I right? John will correct me. Promise. I promise. Really, seriously. I didn't hear it come out. Did you? Well, you know what? Let's take a short break. And we'll be right back after this.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Or call 714-242-5250. That's 714-242-5250. Hello? Yes?
Hello?
Dinner? February 9th? Sounds good, yeah, but... really? Argo players be serving the food? I did that on purpose. This just we'll take a break from the CFL players and stuff. And just I just want to say thank you to everyone who showed up at the Sick Kids thing. And it was the big kiss. Adriano Belli was the host. The Argos, of course, were the main protagonist. There was even a Ticat there. John, Jamie, and I were there as well. My cousin was there with her husband who drew a painting. Like, man, I was impressed. I just never realized my cousin's husband. Should I say his name? No, we'll keep it a secret. Because what will happen is if I say his name, everybody will call him and say, what painting is Frank talking about? Well, I'll tell you a secret. You look on my Facebook, you'll see it there. You look on the Boat Logo page, you'll see it there. It is a painting of Adriano Belli. It's not, you know, it's not abstract. It's actually a very good painting, and I'm very proud of him. He also happens to be the uncle of one of the Argo players. So it was a great experience. It was well worth the $100 we paid each. The food was awesome. I have to tell you, Cirillo's, you guys did great work. Oh, the food was sushi. Oh, loved it. Loved the sushi. Loved the salad. I met a TV star and a television star. You know, nice lady. We talked about being on in the industry. Well, her really, me faking it here. So we really had a great chat. I had a great time meeting my cousin's friends. And I had a great time meeting new people there. I met a couple of dads. And let me tell you, being a dad of a Grey Cup winner, it's a proud moment. It's one you want to share with everyone. It really is. So we had a good time, John, Jamie, and I. And it's Jamie Wolodarski. 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 If I got it wrong again, I typed it in wrong, and I actually posted that again today. If I typed it in wrong, I apologize. Jamie, love you. Mind you, though, I'm off the medication now, for those of you that care about my health issues. I'm off the medication, and I'm doing pretty good. I only have the energy to do the shows that I have to do. And I don't even have the energy to talk to John all day. And John, when he comes on, I won't apologize to him for not calling him again. I already did. And we have fun with our chats. We have fun talking CFL. Most of all, we have fun trying to figure out ways to have people appreciate the CFL even more. Now, some of the players that will be coming through here soon, I might add. I'm going to just name a couple of names here, okay? The Scouting Bureau full list. These are names you'll be hearing in the future. Ranked number one, Bo Lacombe. Number two, Matt Sewell. Lacombe's in Oregon. Matt Sewell, McMaster. Lyndon Gaydosh, Calgary, defensive lineman. Stephen Charles, Regina. Ben D'Aguilar, McMaster. Andy Malumba, East Michigan. Corey Wattman, East Michigan. Jesse Joseph, UConn. Brent Urban, Virginia. Nolan McMillan, Iowa. I'm going to be honest with you. For most of you, none of those names are going to mean much to you. But trust me when I say this, they'll mean something later. Just want to give them their props. These are great players that will be coming to a CFL team near you. Let's go with, this is some of the stuff I like. Rank number one, Michael Van Praet. He did 30 reps, bench press. Ben Heenan, 32, from Saskatchewan. Adam Hindley, Manitoba, did 31. Seamus Postuma, from Windsor, did 30. Jake Thomas, Acadia, did 29. The 40-yard dash, something that's very important for running backs. In fact, when you talk to a running back, this is what they in fact, one of our previous interviews of a former running back, Robert Drummond, he mentioned he got a contract after he finished the run. That's right. If you got the wheels, you got what it takes. The vertical jump, 42 and a half inches for Dylan Holohan, 41 and a half inches for Keenan McDougal, 41 inches for Shea Pierre, 39.5 inches for John Aprile, 39 inches Ishmael Bamba. The broad jump, Keenan McDougal, Dylan Holohan, number two, Ishmael Bamba, tied third with Awad Chambers, and Justin Capicciotti, number five. The shuttle, number one, Dylan Holohan, St. FX, Juwan Westerman, number two of Rutgers, Keenan McDougal of Saskatchewan, Shimawad Chambers, Wilfrid Laurier, Brad Focasado, McMaster. The three-cone drill, and this will be the last one we'll do, one through five, Juwan Westerman of Rutgers, Dylan Holohan of St. Francis of X, Johnny Aprile of Queens, teammate Ryan Granberg of Queens, number four, Sam Hurl of Calgary, number five. These are some of the things that players do to impress coaches. The combines are going on. They're going on right now. In fact, I think they just had one, if I'm not mistaken. My memory, anyway. Another subject that maybe will be important to for you to realize and know, the IAFA football team, that's the Canadian team, to play Canadian players, sorry, they're playing on the rest of the world against the American football players. 26 Canadians placed on the team. That'll be a great game. I really don't know where it'll be on. I haven't seen any. If anybody knows where that game will be played on, what station, what channel, it'd be really nice. Hopefully it'll be on one that we can receive here in Canada, one that both or either Bell or Rogers will provide to us to watch and enjoy. So, the scouting rank. This is from the scouting bureau, the CFL. Bola Combo was ranked third. Now he's ranked first. Mark Sewell, number two. Lyndon Gaydosh, number three. Stephen Charles, number four. Brian D'Aguilar, number five. Number six is Andy Malumba. Number seven is Corey Wattman. Number eight is Jesse Joseph. Number nine is Brent Urban. Number 10 is Nolan McMillan. These names are worth mentioning. And for anybody out there that knows these guys, talk to them while you can. It's going to get really crowded. They'll be, as I said before, showing up on a CFL team near you somewhere. Now, well, I don't want to jinx anything. Here's a chance now to expand the conversation to the knowledgeable, intelligent, handsome, loyal, leadership qualities as good as any. I know him as John Granger. And you know him as the Argonaut. John, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Frankie? That's some setup.
You like that, do you?
Oh, man. I don't know if I can actually follow that setup there. But I'll try to do my best there, okay?
Well, you know what? You, at half speed, are still way and above inside those plaudits. You achieved it.
Oh,
there's no other way. John, I got bad news. Show to go on bigger and better things in Edmonton. I just wanted you to know.
Who's that? Thanks. Well, listen, I just want to get into thanking Chris Rudge for making the first important signing, and that was the extension of Jim Barker. I think we all knew that was coming, but just to make it official, I think that was the most important signing to me, because without Jim doing all the other signings, there is no Grey Cup, I don't believe. And that was, to me, the most important. And, of course, the Chad Cackert signing, of course, was important, too. Couple of things I'm sad about. McCullough going to Hamilton. Didn't really want to see that happen. But getting a local boy from BC and James Juracek, that was pretty nice. I'm happy with that. I'm still waiting to see what happens with Foley. Maybe Daniele, if he calls in and gives us some update on that. But I like today. It was a good day today, besides the meteor, you know, in Russia and asteroid flying by. It was a pretty good day.
Yes. Yes, it was. We could talk about that asteroid later. And we can also talk about the Russians ducking for cover. I shouldn't be laughing, but you see it on the screen, and you see so many movies about that kind of stuff. When it happens for real, it just doesn't seem real. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, great. I don't think we're actually kind of used to seeing that something like that visually. You know, it's one of those things that, what is that happening? But all I can say to that is more to come, probably. You know. Anyway, let's not get into that. Let's get into the good stuff today. Who do you think was the most productive team today, Frank?
I'm going to say, can we count a couple of days before that?
Okay, let's put it this way. How about, let's do that. Redo that question. Who do you think has been so far the most productive in free agency leading up to today and including today? How's that?
I think it's a tie between... you're going to think I'm crazy. I know you're going to think I'm crazy. The Alouettes and the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
No, I'm good with that. I could see, you know,
like, as an Argo fan, I'm good with what they've done, because what they've done is they now still have the nucleus, right? Which is the important thing as a repeat. You know, to repeat, they need to have the nucleus intact and then change a few other parts around. The Foley thing, if they signed Foley, I would have said the Argos rather than Montreal or Hamilton.
Well, you know, okay, let me tell you about the Montreal thing. Let me tell you what's going on. It's so crazy that Montreal doesn't have a head coach yet, okay? I don't get that. I'm not sure what they're thinking. But, hello, they need a coach, and they're signing all these players. You know, and mind you, it'd be nice to have a coach with some input, but what does that tell me? Maybe the GM might be moving into the coach's position. Something to ponder.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. And that's part of the reason why I'm saying Montreal, because I think considering what day it is, you know, you would like to think that the input on signing free agents would also be a part of the head coach's decision, right? You would think.
Yep.
In the same season,
sure.
Anyway. In the same season, you know. You're right. That's the thought that's gone through my head. I think what's happened is the Alouettes raised the bar too high. And by too high, I mean when they said we have to hire somebody who speaks both French and English, they tied their hands.
Yeah.
And that... Now, listen, this is not a, you know, this is only a, this is just a sporting comment on my part. When you say to somebody, you know, you're going to eliminate a big portion of possibilities, because let's be honest, as progressive as Quebec has been in the sport of Canadian football, the Canadian Football League relies on Americans in many different ways, and one of them is in coaching. And most of them, unless you go to New Orleans, I don't speak French.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get you. I'm not sure if Montreal Alouettes actually put that out there, that they wanted a bilingual coach. I know the Canadians in hockey did that, but okay, I'll take your word on it. But if that's the case, you know, I think the bilingual coaches that were candidates are no longer candidates, so...
And they
added
under the other candidates instead. They've eliminated
right.
a couple, and they've added a couple, of which I don't think either of them speak French. So,
okay.
and I think the politics in Quebec makes it tough. I mean, when you have a team like the Montreal Canadiens, you raise them as an example. I mean, you figure that team is loved so much. They could pretty well dictate who coaches the team. In reality, you know, we're the Montreal Canadiens. We've never been strictly a French team, especially going back to the last great years. Scotty Bowman, Bob Gainey, Ken Dryden. You know, they don't have to be French to be successful in Quebec. They don't need, it's not a prerequisite as far as the fans are concerned, but it is the prerequisite of some politicos, you know, that do, you know, the same people that outlaw signs that are in English, the same people that outlaw speaking English in a store, you know, basically making the English language illegal. There are people there who are like that. It's the same idea as the people here who, you know, bread not circuses. You know, we don't get the Olympics because a minority of people speak as though they're the majority. And that happens everywhere. It isn't something that just happens in Quebec or Ontario or Toronto or the West or in the U.S. You know, it happens everywhere. Sometimes the most vocal people get their way, and sometimes they don't. All that matters is
good.
Right?
Right.
If Burke last year would have had a team that snuck into the playoffs, despite what he said, which is, I don't want to get in the playoffs, it just means get eliminated in the first round. If he would have gotten the playoffs, he still would have been here this year as the VP of hockey operations. But they didn't make the playoffs, and that's what matters in sports.
Well, you know who's going to be here this year, though?
Who?
Jack Acker. That's who's going to be here this year. And you know what? I got to say, Frank, Chad, you know, being an American boy, I know the temptation was to, you know, try it out and do the NFL thing. But I heard him talk earlier in the day, and you can just tell by the character in this guy why the Argos were interested in, first of all, Jim Barker, when he noticed them 2 years ago. He's a really good guy as a person, and he wants to be part of something here bigger than just being a practice roster guy on an NFL team. So great to hear this guy coming back on the team, and I know there's better and bigger things to come with Chad. So the pieces are falling into place. I mean, we got a lot of holes to fill still on the defensive end, but at least the wheels are in motion, and I have faith in Jim and the rest of the management to get it done right again this year.
I totally agree. The New Hampshire lad is back in uniform with the Argonauts. He doesn't have to change his Facebook picture. He can still be running onto the field during the Grey Cup, and he'll be able to do it again this year if the Argos can make it. Is it a big if? I don't think so. With him in the lineup, it's definitely not a big if. They do need to plug some holes on defense, but like you, as Argo fans, we're very appreciative of the management that we have here in Toronto. You're 100% right. And, you know, John, when we go to the games this year, it's just going to be another year of up and down. And you know what? We're going to enjoy the ride, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. You betcha. But, you know, win or lose. Every year.
Oh, yeah.
Argo lifers are. If you're in it for life, it just doesn't matter. You're just in it for life to have fun here, okay? So I'm looking forward to being in the stands and to be, you know, kind of feeling that pride where we're here to say repeat, not to try to get one, but we're here to do a repeat. And I'm loving that feeling. It's been a while since we've had that feeling.
Yeah. Boy, got to be careful here, eh? His dad is his dad on Facebook. It's right up there, boy. So, you know, he says on Facebook 6 hours ago via Twitter, couldn't be happier to be staying in the double blue. Thanks to everyone for your support. And then the little guy does this, right? That guy, oh, little sneaky little cacker. Number sign, Grey Cup 101. So he's already set the bar. Good for him.
There you go.
Good for him. I don't know what's going on. Your old friend Bill Sancy, I think, irritated his dad. I don't know what he said, but whatever he said irritated him. You know, there's stuff going on every day, you know, in life. But for football, in the you know, in Canada for the Canadian Football League. Today was a very big day, John, and I didn't mean to off-put you on picking the big deal of the day. If I can add something else, the biggest deal of the day, outside of Kackert, I believe, we don't even know which deal that was. You know, you look, you know, 8 months down the road, and you really get to see where the good move was. Because there are those intangibles. Take a McCullough, who played really well here in Toronto. There's no guarantee he's going to play well in Hamilton. There's no guarantee. You know, it's all about chemistry. We brought in a young kid here into Toronto, a local guy. Played in BC, played really well. Juracek. You don't really know how well he's going to fit in here. But then they could bust through like crazy. So that's the nice thing about free agency. That's the nice thing about being a CFL player and free agency. You get to make a decision whether money's most important or where you play is more important. Which brings me up to the guy that you raised, Foley, who right now is not signed by anyone. You and I both believe that Hamilton has interest in him. And you and I both believe that he would rather be in Argo, all things being equal.
Yes. I have no doubt that you know, he wants to play for Toronto. I mean, you know, he's got a decision to be made right now. I'm worried that if he does go perhaps for a little bit more money to Hamilton, that he might be left out when the expansion draft happens in Ottawa. So if he gets some sort of a guarantee with Toronto, I think he'll go with the right path and stick with Toronto. So, Ricky, just sign. Let's get this done with Jim. You know, you got to do it, so let's get it done. We got to get the local boys re-signed. You know, Jim's focus, I know, was even 3 years ago, was trying to get as many local players in the area that to get on the Argos, and it shows. You get a lot more interest. You get them playing with, you know, obviously more passion because you have the family in the stands. And Foley is part of that fit, and obviously he fit in really well this past season. Maybe the numbers were not all there that he was looking for, but he was there when we needed him there the most, and that's the kind of guy you need on a team with a lot of passion and heart.
Canadian MVP at the Grey Cup. What else do you want to do?
Exactly. And we also need Tristan Black, too.
Tristan's part of a numbers game, I guess. I hope Tristan comes back. You know, he's a friend of the program. He's a friend of our group. And he's a good guy. And, again, another local Toronto guy. We wish him the best. Nobody has to feel sorry for Tristan. He'll find a job. I'm positive of that. I hope it's here in Toronto, to be honest with you.
Yep, me too. Like I said, local boys, Spencer Watt, too. Who they signed earlier a couple days ago, which was a good signing. I'm happy with that. So I like to see the local guys get signed. And, you know, I know Jim's always hunting for more. We need the Canadian talent anyways on our team. So good stuff coming up.
Okay, I'm going to take a short break, John, and then we'll come back for more of the show. For those of you that are watching your screens, your computer screens, those of you on Facebook, please feel free to let your friends know how to log on. It is a bit of a challenge. Both John and I are a part of this. And when I say a part of this, is we're bringing this to you. And sometimes we are challenged to make Blog Talk Radio work the way it's intended. It's not a very easy proposition. So we're grateful to all the people who take the time to really try. You know, we're like, actually, the show's like the Canadian Football League. The people who listen to the show really love the Canadian Football League, and we appreciate that. And the ones that make it on the air or listen to the show, we've had some really good numbers, John, thanks to you and your hard work, to Jamie's hard work. Now, you know, we have Daniele Franceschi, who has joined us as well, the Argo Admirals, the Argo Boat Logo page, the Friends of the Argonauts, the Argonaut page itself, the Toronto Argonauts themselves, and also the Hamilton Tiger Cat fans who have snuck their way into our show. And maybe we'll hear from a few more again tonight. John, we'll be right back after this and everyone else.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Do you want to be heard, disagreed with, or just plain shot down? Come on! Be brave! Call the Candid Frank Live Show, a.k.a. the CFL Show. You already hit the link to bring up the player, and you hit the play button so you can hear us. Now hit that little Skype button on that Candid Live player sitting there, like your pet wanting a snack, so to connect with us and tell us your thoughts. Hit that little tiny, cute, and tempting Skype button, right? Now, do it! Okay, John, I'm going to give you, we'll do the Friday free-for-all thing here. What do you want to talk about? Now, you started with the meteor that passed the Earth. I think it was 17,000 miles. I think it's miles, 17,000 miles. I think I remember seeing it on CNN.
It was fast, Frank.
How fast it was going was even faster. That's how close it was to the Earth. In fact, it came in within the layer of satellites, you know, communications, war machines, rocket garbage, in that little, it came within that. And there was a chance it might have hit the odd satellite here or there, but a very slim chance, as it turns out, because it's a very wide area out there. When you draw a big circle around the world, as big as the world, and how hard it is to travel around the world, to travel, 17,000 miles out is even further. So, yeah, and then they had those tiny little fragments that landed in Russia and created havoc. I watched,
yeah,
and I couldn't believe.
Those fragments, which was the size of a pickup truck, had nothing to do with the
no,
the asteroid that came by.
No, and nobody, I didn't hear that it was going to happen. Did you?
No. Actually, you know what? I heard it on NASA the channel about a week ago. They planned on this, but Frank, I got to tell you, the Mayans. Nobody would be laughing at them right now if we were 17,000 feet over, or 27,000. Actually, it was 27,000 feet away from us, and our satellites fly at, I think, 35,000 or 32,000. So it was pretty close. But again, the time frame of everything, right?
Yeah,
so I'm anticipating to hear more earthquakes going off soon. I'm anticipating to hear more volcanoes, which, by the way, Frank, have become more active in the last 2 months. A couple that have been dormant for a while have been going off. No one's talking about it because, it's ha, 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 end of the world, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, we'll see. But anyway, free fall, getting off the asteroid stuff. The Rock won tonight at home with a couple of Argos in the stands honoring the Grey Cup tonight, champs, and I believe Pottinger and Andre Drury were down there at the game, and I'm wondering if Jared or any of the gang are going to call in tonight and tell us what it was like. It looked like a good game.
Yeah. It's always a good game. One last thing I wanted to mention. The reason the Russians were so angry wasn't for the damage that they did. There were a lot of people injured. Nobody was killed, thank goodness. But it was the banners flying behind the pieces of rockets that were CFL team banners. That's the part that really irritated.
Oh.
None of that stuff bothered them, but when they saw the CFL banners, that's when they got a little miffed. That's just a little Russian joke. Sorry, guys. Yeah, no, the Rock. Now, this is an organization that knows how to win. It had, as for those of you that follow the show on a regular basis, and most of you, I must admit, and John and I don't mind the fact that most of you, and when I say most of you, a lot of you listen to the show after it's done. You lazy buggers, you got to contribute. You got to phone in. Our numbers are awesome when we're off the air, John. Maybe if every time we stop talking, we get popular.
No, I don't think that's how it works, Frank.
You think there's a message there?
I think the beauty about Blog Talk Radio is that they don't have to listen to us live, and they can tune in on a Friday when they have some leisure time to kind of catch up on anything they might have wanted to hear about the CFL or any general news on Iraq and so forth. So that is the benefit that we have that perhaps other radio stations on your dial, AM, FM, have, is that we're more reachable when it comes to be able to hear us, you know, when we're not in the time frame. And 10:30 is perhaps a difficult night for on a Friday night for people to listen to. But you got the whole weekend to hear us until the next show on Monday. So I'm okay with it if the numbers aren't there on the live. But when we got them listening in, Frank, that's all that counts, right?
Yeah, it's all that counts. Hey, John, what should we post on Chad Kackert's Facebook? I'm trying to think. What should I want to post something on his Facebook. Let me see. Welcome back. Welcome back, big guy.
Okay, but at the speed that you type, we're going
to
be
so
all
nice.
Night.
So nice to have you back. Looking forward to your bouncing off opponents for another year. And yes, I'm not going to say what I was typing. Gray Cup. Yikes! Gray Cup with two G's. Gray Cup 101. Yeah. Oh, I said it in Spanish. Oh, I got to turn off the translator. Yes. There we go. Now I'll just hit enter. Enter. There we go. Okay. I've done my part for Facebook for tonight. And you know what, John?
What?
The boat logo. Just real quick. The fans of the boat logo have really come around. They're our biggest fans. We're very fortunate that they are. We have fans all over the place. We have fans that are part of media everywhere. It feels good that you're able to do something like this. My hope, hopefully, once we move on to doing some of the live broadcasts with the team, we should talk about this as well. In the future, we're hoping, and I say hoping, not because we don't have approvals yet or permission, or whether the Argos aren't willing to step out of the way and let us do it, is we will be going to Shoeless Joe's, and with the cooperation and assistance of course, Shoeless Joe's on
King Street.
Right?
King Street.
That's right. And we will be there live after games. And we will hopefully be able to snag the odd player to talk to them. But more importantly, we'll be there to talk to the excited fans live and in person on their experience that evening. Hopefully not too high when they win or not too low when they lose. But as you said, John, win or lose, their fans will be right behind them, and I know you'll be leading the charge. That's going to be something new that nobody's done yet. We're entering into a proposition that will be difficult at best, maybe even impossible once we try to do it. We don't know yet, but we're looking forward to doing that. That's part of what this blog radio show is all about. It's all about the CFL, and we do the best we can in working with the information fresh or stale or you know, repeated over and over again. We've tried to be as fresh as we can, and we're grateful to the CFL and the information that they share with us. And we're going to be really grateful to share the excitement that the fans have after the game. And I think that's the best thing that we'll have to contribute that many others will not be able to, or, you know, maybe they'll steal our idea, John.
Well, Frank, you know, well, I hope so. I hope they steal the idea, because the whole premise of doing all this is to get the word out and to let the other so-called football fans out there, NFL fans or whatever league you like to particularly watch, know that Toronto in particular, CFL fans in general, are diehard passionate fans, and it you don't just see it in hockey fans and Leaf fans, Canadian fans, but it's there in CFL fans. And I think, Frank, I have to thank you for being a CFL passionate fan, and you know you're a Toronto fan first, but you truly are a CFL fan because you equally care about all the other teams in the league, and I like that about you a lot. And I think what you want to do here and what you want to do for the league and spread the word, it's just going to be a positive. I mean, how can it not be a positive? With the media world that we have out there right now, with the way of reaching out to fans, why not use this opportunity? And why not let the fans out there use this opportunity to have a voice? It's a voice that every fan can call in and, you know, share what they have on their minds. The more that we get out there, the more that we get the exposure out there on your show and the players are going to call in, it's just going to be a plus for the league and for this team, the Toronto Argonauts, and also the other local teams that we're going to talk about, like The Rock, which you have great fans who are, you know, a lot of them are Argo fans, which were there tonight. A great turnout tonight and a great crowd tonight at the Rock game. So this is all a good thing. This is all a good thing. So looking forward to the rest of the year. It's going to even get better, especially the post-game parties at Shoeless Joe's at King and Duncan. We got to always mention that there's two Shoeless Joe's on King Street. One is the most important one, is the one at Duncan and King.
They're all important, but there's going to be one that's going to have Argo players at it.
That's right, Frankie.
That'll be the difference. Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting adventure getting this thing up and running. I don't recommend it for anyone who isn't patient or willing to lose more often than they win. It's not easy, and it's very frustrating. And if you don't have multiple people backing you up and with you on it, you won't stand a chance. You know, this program here is brought to you. I created a commercial with the Argo Lifers. Without the Argo Lifers, this doesn't happen. Without the Toronto Argonauts, this program doesn't happen. The value of this program right now is underrated. And the reason it's underrated is it's not, I repeat, not in the CFL season. So, you know, if we can have some decent numbers outside of the season, I'm very confident that for those of you that are listening right now, who are basically passively listening, not contributing because you don't feel there's anything that you feel you can contribute because there's no games, later on, we've set the table, and we invite you all to be a part of it. And that's the most important message that John and I can send out to you folks that are listening. And we will appreciate, and I don't mind saying this, please, share the link with your friends. If you're watching on Facebook and you see our link go up, please share the link with the people that you know. If you know, especially if you know CFL fans, I don't have a problem with anybody at all. But it's important to me, and it's important to John, and it's important to the Argo Lifers. It's important to all of us involved in this program. We want to make sure that CFL fans have another place that they can talk about the game itself. Unfortunately, the way the media works today, and I sound like I'm pontificating, let me take this soapbox and step up on it. Here we go. Hang on. Oh, there we go. Okay, just step on it.
Oh,
now,
careful, Frank. Careful.
I'm getting a little delirium going on here because the medication is still affecting me. But having said that, what's important is that the people who love this game have a chance to talk about it somewhere. Yes, there are lots of radio stations. Yes, there are radio stations that are, I'm going to say, semi-dedicated to the Toronto Argonauts. But there aren't any that are fully dedicated to the Argonauts and to the CFL as we are. And that is the difference that we're trying to create here on this program. Across the country, there are other shows. I've had the good fortune of talking to some people across the country. And there are shows like this across the country in different CFL cities. So this is not a unique show. I'm not pretending to tell you that this is an original idea because it's radio. Everything's been done on radio. It's just a question of how it's done, really. And that's the difference that we're trying to project here. We're trying to make sure that we're making a meal out of the Canadian Football League because we enjoy the game, admire the players, and quite frankly, have so much to say and nowhere to say it. And I'm hoping the rest of you who have so much to say about the CFL, to talk about, to be proud about, even if it's a teacher that you have in your school that plays for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. We want to hear about that as well. So if it's CFL, share it with us. We'd like this place to be a place where we can all get together and share what we love about the CFL. That's it. It's real simple. People didn't believe we could do this. And John, you know I'm telling the truth. A lot of people thought, how the heck are you going to do a show just about the CFL? Well, it's what we try to do. And we spend the majority of our time discussing the CFL. It's what we're going to do. And no one's going to stop us. We run this show so we can do what we want. Right, John?
Damn right.
Okay.
You got that right, Frank. You know what? There's going to be haters. And that's where no matter what you do, people will try to tear it down and whatever. But that's not what we go on. We go on because we're passionate about it. You know, we're passionate about it because we also have, you know, people in the management, for example, in the Toronto Argonauts, Chris Rudge, Carlos Ferreira, Daniel Steinfeld, David Bedford, Chris Andreoli. And I can go on and on. These are all good people who care about what the fans want and what the fans need. And it's just another example. I'd love to mention the Hamilton management or the other management,
well,
but you know, this is the management core that is jumping on our ship and on our board to spread the word. And this is why we're doing it. If we didn't have that sort of support from them and to encourage us to keep going, it would be a little bit more of a struggle because, Frank, I know the time that you've put in with blog radio and try to straighten things out and, you know, the networking that's involved and so forth. It's time-consuming, and I appreciate that. And I know you've said the same for me, but the bottom line is that our motivation is to try to do something that is lacking, first of all, and the opportunity is there. You know, we have this opportunity with blog radio to spread the word of the CFL and the Toronto Argonauts and the other CFL teams. And we're going to take that opportunity. And you know what? Why not? I'm willing to ride it through with you, and you got a talent that I want to support, and we're just going to keep doing this. I'm not giving up.
Nope, I'm not either. And there's nothing to give up. It's all been good.
No.
We have, fortunately for Blog Talk Radio, they send me reports on how the show does each and every week, and it has steadily grown. And I owe that
better.
I owe that to the people out there who also care. So enough about trying to convince people that what we're doing is worthwhile. Let's talk about something that is worthwhile. Now you started to talk about the Toronto Rock. They won. The Grey Cup was there. People were able to get their pictures taken with the Grey Cup. Just like the Argos, players go for dinner, and they invite the fans to join them. And they have an opportunity to talk to them and meet them in person and get their picture taken again with the Grey Cup. Jared Harris being one of the guys that talks to us from time to time, he's a Hamilton Ticat fan and a Toronto Rock fan. The Ticat fans obviously have a lot to be excited about. They're the excitement I'm referring to is they're going to be going to a new stadium before they get their final stadium, the stadium for the next 20, 30, 40 years, whatever. However long it takes, however long it'll last, you know, they're very fortunate because in Hamilton, people. One thing I like about the Hamilton fans, they're very passionate, just like the Argo fans. Hamilton has this thing where they refuse to accept the negativity from other people, other communities. You know, it is the Hammer. And it's the Hammer for a reason. It's a city that has been denied hockey, has been, you know, has been denied a stadium until this year, and this team keeps progressing regardless of some of the negatives that are put in its way. And I know as an Argo fan, you get a real kick out of lining up beside Hamilton fans and going toe to toe with them in a productive manner, not in a good way, in a fun sports supporting way. And I don't know, John, you have the great opportunity to have been many places to enjoy the CFL. Now, I know that in Montreal, when I went to the playoff game there, the one thing I took from them is they had a lot of class, even in losing. I attribute that to the fact that that they have been winning for a very long time, and the Argos have not. And well, not a very long time, but for a while, the Argos haven't been winning. And they were gracious losers when we were there. I don't think the Hamilton fans would be as gracious. What do you think?
No, Frank, I got to agree with you 100% there. Montreal fans, every year that in the past two decades, I recall that we've been there and Toronto has won, they're really good fans. I mean, we didn't have any people yelling Argos suck. They actually came and shook our hands, took pictures with us. It's a different character of fans in Montreal. I mean, it is what it is. Ticat fans are passionate about their team, and that's all good. But when they get a few beers inside them, they don't know when to let it go. You know, they don't know when to say good game, and it's just the way they're built. So I got to give one notch for the Alouette fans as far as, their etiquette goes. I'm not putting the Ticat fans because of it, but you can see the difference. Let's just put it that way.
I'm going to go back to what I said before and make it very clear. I don't think the city of Hamilton gets near as much respect as they deserve, and I'm referring to Montreal as a city that has plenty of respect, plenty of power. This isn't about passion that I'm talking here. This is about wanting to raise the profile and build your community and raise it higher. And this is one of the services that the CFL provides. You know, communities that, if not for the CFL, like Hamilton, would not have an opportunity to display their pride in their community. And, on a bigger stage, on a higher scale. All one has to do is look at Saskatchewan. They're not a big city. Regina's not a big city. But people literally trudge through feet of snow, 2, 3, 4 feet of snow, and they'll go to the game and sit in the stands, and there is a thing called rider pride. It's not an accident. And that is one of the things that people who are CFL fans feel and witness. Hamilton is relentless. I don't look at it as a negative. Like I said, I think it's just pushback from being disrespected, not by Toronto. That's not what I'm saying, but by, in general, the economy has kicked them in the ass. You know what I mean? Unfairly. The National Hockey League has shown them total disrespect. Big money like RIM were willing to bring a team in. That wasn't good enough. It got so ugly and so disrespected that Hamilton was, that it got even uglier. And then the National Hockey League made excuses for why a team shouldn't go into Hamilton and tried making the enemy out of the guy. Well, you know what? Hamilton, my kudos to them and their fans in that city and their management. I love their team. I think they're a great team. My loyalty's to the Argos. When they're both on the field, I'm picking the Argos. Otherwise, there could be a toss-up whenever Hamilton's playing somebody else. Regina, as I said, proud community, very proud. Winnipeg, in fact, is underrated. Their fans are pretty excited about their team every year, and they're very proud of their team. And then the Eskimos. You want to talk about the Eskimos? You want to talk about a team, an organization, who maybe recently have had some tough times, but historically How much more do you want from a franchise? Five Grey Cups in a row. Five. Good Lord. It ain't easy. And that's a lot of pride for Edmonton. And Calgary's no pushover when it comes to their fans being proud of them and BC. So when Ottawa gets their team shortly, next year to be specific, not this year, the following year, hopefully Ottawa will rely on its fans more than its politicians to survive. I always felt that that was the biggest mistake that the team made. The team should try to sell itself to the fans and ignore the politicians. Because anyway, the politicians expect free tickets. So what do you want from them? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
I get you.
You know what I'm
saying? Speaking of all the teams, one thing we haven't brought up was the schedule. What the heck is going on? I heard that it's a Western team that's holding it all up. It seems that there's some sort of a delay with one of the Western teams that is causing the CFL to release the schedule. I mean, give me a break.
Who would it be? Any idea? Not to play, just to try to get at the root of the problem so that we can maybe help them figure it out.
Well,
is it BC because they have lots of stuff going on? They don't have a baseball team.
It's not BC. I'm narrowing it down to Calgary. I'm assuming is the hiccup here, and the only thing I can think of is, and this is just a guess, it's got something to do with their scheduling for the stadium there with maybe the Calgary Stampede or something. I don't know. The only other team I can think of, perhaps it's Winnipeg because of the stadium. But otherwise, I mean, Jesus, I don't recall a year where it's been delayed this long.
Well, it originally was supposed to come out February 1st, right?
Right. In the first week of February.
We're halfway through February now.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of teams, the management for these franchises is, on pins and needles waiting for this thing to come out because there's a lot of scheduling to do. You know, we got bookings, the hotels, the dates in general, and you got all the ticket salespeople who are going crazy, not being able to book groups or particular dates or schedule, any sort of events until they have these dates out. So it's a nightmare, I imagine, for the CFL right now and the teams.
Well, as a season ticket holder, I'd like to know what dates to black out on my calendar.
No, we don't have a black marker for that. What are you talking about? We don't black any out.
Well, no, I mean, where I'm only going to be worrying about what the Argos are doing. I mean, it's only 10 games a year. It's only 10 games, but I have a few children, and they have a few impositions they lay on me, Daddy.
Yeah.
The family comes first. The Argos come second, and I'd like to give the family as much chance to have guarantees of when I'm available. And especially now that I'm complicating my fan experience by becoming, tied to doing a program as well, which will require some preparation, the whole day is shot. So, for me, I would like to know what the schedule is so I can black out those dates, so I can put maybe big blue circles to make you feel better. Big blue circles or giant A's, on that date. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who have larger commitments, as you stated, that would like to know. So, whoever it is that's holding up the schedule, why don't you share your problem with other people? Maybe they can help you figure it out.
Yep, that's a fact, Jack. I mean, this is nuts. I don't understand what the problem is, but well, whatever it is, let's get this thing going and put it out there. I mean, I'm hoping by early next week it's done. But geez, Louise, And Frank, I didn't mention anything about overrunning. Okay, I know you overran again the hour show, but it was going well, so. Yeah, giddy up. But it is getting close to the end of the show, is it not, Frank?
No, we got another hour and 15 minutes.
Okay. We want to keep
kidding.
Listeners.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah, it's the medication talking.
Oh, yeah. You said you were off the medication. I couldn't tell the difference.
Well, actually, I have to stop taking the medication. For those of you that have had surgery in your life, you know what happens when they put you out. And then for some, the painkiller, otherwise known as Tylenol 3 with codeine, for someone who doesn't do drugs, and even if I did, I wouldn't admit it. Nope, I don't do them. And so in my system, it has kicked me to the curb and then kicked me to the other curb and then kicked me up to the sidewalk. I mean, I think I've been kicked almost as much as some of the political decisions in the United States. My can got kicked up and down. And you know what? For anybody that's getting an operation, if you don't need to take Tylenol 3s with codeine, don't take them. Like, you know, I was double dosing, and I think I'm paying for it. And I think that's what the problem is. So, you know, be careful with that stuff, folks. For those of you that after an operation or you're taking Tylenol with codeine, be careful. That stuff can really tear up your insides, and I'm going through that right now. It's a real painful time for me, and I really mean it when I say that I have taken it very easy the past week and a bit because I don't have the energy to do the show if I don't. And so for those of you on a life issue, on a day-to-day concern, just be careful when you're taking pills. Even though they're prescription, you really have to be careful. And anyone who knows former President Clinton, he's working on prescription drugs and trying to raise awareness because here in North America, we take prescription drugs. We take more prescription drugs than the rest of the world does, put together. Between guns and drugs... The Americans have got that shit covered. Don't worry about it. They've got that stuff covered.
I guess this is all information you learn when you become a senior citizen, right, Frank?
Yes.
Whoa!
And you know, the problem with becoming a senior citizen is, I forgot what I was saying. Sometimes it's useful. Sometimes it's useful. Other times, not so much. No, seriously, you know, you need to be careful with prescription drugs. There are a lot of people out there who are addicted to prescription drugs. You know, we could start talking about drugs in the Canadian Football League. We could start talking about drugs in the NFL. We could start talking about sports. You know, the bottom line is drugs are no good for you. All right? They're just a short-term gain, you know, for long-term pain. You know, and that's all there is to it. So if anyone asks me, that's what I'm going to tell you. Whether the microphone's on or off, it's not good for you. And besides that...
Hey, man, who says that, man? I don't know about you, Frank, but hey, these aspirin are pretty good.
Only in emergency cases.
I could upset you really... No, never mind. I'm also taking some... No, never mind. Because of the side effects of the Tylenol 3s, I have to take this other medication, and they're upping the amount. Being operated on, I didn't think this was that serious a surgery, and it has become in my life the biggest surgery I've ever had, and it has overcome my hernia, which I thought was a big deal, but it was nothing looking back, having been through this experience. Now, I haven't been operated on that much, and I haven't been put out but once, so, you know, I'm not an athlete that spends a lot of time getting wounded and then being repaired, which one of the Facebook, which brings me to the Facebook quote that I'm going to, from Facebook, one of Chad's fans said, hopefully this year there won't be any injuries. Thanks, buddy. Thanks for mentioning that. Just what you want to hear, eh? No, we hope you don't get hurt next year. Thank you. I just got hurt hearing that. You know, that's another thing with athletes, John. Athletes are very, they worry about stuff, thinking about stuff. There's stuff they don't want to think about. They just want to get on the field and play the game. They just want to practice, go home. They don't want to hear any of the jinxy stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Well, it's going to be a challenge for Chad. He's being a starter, putting in a full season of 18 games plus. It's going to be interesting, and I know he's going to really feel it this year, being the starter. But you know, I have full faith in Riggs too. I think it's going to be a good double punch combination. So I think that's Chad's biggest challenge right now, is realizing that, can his body take it, being a starter? And that's a challenge for any running back. And so the real test comes this year, the real true test.
Absolutely. You know, I have to also, maybe, you know, I think that the only reason I believe, and you're hitting on the point of why I believe the only reason why Chad didn't sign with the New York Jets is he didn't play a full season in Toronto. And, you know, let's face it, the NFL is not any less rigorous than the CFL. So, you know.
Yes. I think it's a little bit deeper than that, I believe, with Chad. I think he recognized that it's more important to be part of something, a bigger picture here with Toronto and a team and a unity that he built and got familiar with. I think that's more important than the lucrative factor of being a player. So I love that about him, and what he did today was a big step in his character.
Well, I really hope that he, you know, has a really good year this year. He really is a nice guy, and we're not saying it just because he's an Argo. I've met a couple of nice Tie Cats as well, and only because I haven't spent a lot of time with the Tie Cats. But what I will say is this, and that is that we're in for another good year. The CFL is going to be a great year. I see a team like the Argonauts will be a great draw on the road. Hopefully, there'll be a good draw at home as well. We all know that Toronto is the most hated city in Canada. We also know that it is the most loved city in Canada. So when you go to a sporting event and the Toronto fans are in the crowd, you know they're there, and there are enough of them. And you know the rest of the fans that are rooting for the other team really can't stand Toronto. So, you know, it's going to make for a good year. Going into Montreal this year, I'm really thinking, John, that's going to be one heck of a barn burner, because let's be honest. I mean, I was there and I saw it firsthand. One catch could have made the difference.
Yep. Well, you know what, Frank? I think true enough, one catch could have made the difference, but we don't know what. You know, whatever. It happened the way it happened. It was meant to happen. It was destiny. I'm just putting a warning out for all the visiting teams that are coming to Toronto and thinking it's going to be easy and be playing in Toronto. It's not. We're going to make sure that the Argo Lifer Section 134 is going to be louder than ever. We're right behind the visitors' bench where real fans should be if they want to be, making a difference in a game. I know that the Argos front office is going to be supporting us. So if you got a pen and want to write this down, 416-341-2793, call Chris Andreoli. He'll hook you up to half-price season tickets in the Argo Lifer section. I'm looking forward to it, Frank. I can't wait for the schedule to come out first. So let's get the schedule out, and then we can talk more about what we're going to do on game days and stuff.
Now, the games against Hamilton this year will be taking place not in Hamilton. And those games in Guelph, how interesting do you think they're going to be with, you know, people getting acclimatized, adjusted to the stadium? And, you know, when you get something new, right, when you're someplace new, you know, it sometimes takes over the experience of the actual game. It's like the first few times the Blue Jays played at the then-known Sky Dome, right? People spent a lot of time looking around the stadium. Wow, look at the glass. You know, look at the people in the there's people in the hotel room? You know, so until that stuff becomes old news, you don't really watch the game as much as you might have, right? And in a different perspective, and when they get to Guelph, there's going to be a whole lot of complaints. You got to know there's going to be a lot of complaints. Most of them have to do with the fact that the fans believe that they'll be sitting in proximity to what they're accustomed to angle-wise of looking at the game. And we know what people are like, John. If they don't get exactly what they think they should be getting, we know what they'll be doing. I think the first few games of the season, Hamilton management's going to be dealing with unhappy fans who aren't getting what they thought they were getting. So it's going to be a difficult year in that regard for Hamilton, for their fans and the organization.
Well, making the season ticket base happy is going to be a real big challenge for the front line of the management in Hamilton. I think getting all those season ticket holders that want to be there for the new stadium is going to be a huge challenge. I mean, just trucking them over, and I mean not loosely, I mean busting them over in itself is going to be a challenge. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's you know, they're going to be dealing with a lot more bigger problems than the stadium situation this year. I think maybe it's a good thing. Maybe they won't have such a big crowd to put a pressure on them, because if they don't start off well, I mean, if they don't start off well, you know, they're not going to have 25,000 people booing in the stands. So perhaps that could be a good thing for Austin and the rest of the group. Who knows?
Yep, you're 100% right. And so now going to the West, the Western Division, just a little bit for the fans out there, what do we think is going on there? I think it, you know, yeah, you know, I believe that we should expect that in the West Division there's going to be teams and players that'll have something to prove. G. Roy Simon, for one, in the players department. Calgary, as a team, will have a lot to prove. They want to make it back to the Grey Cup. BC, I think, could have been at the Grey Cup probably as easily as Montreal might have been. So, you know, it's the beauty of sport, is that, you know, everything happens for a reason, a great man once said to me. And, you know, it all happens for a reason. And one of the reasons is where you fail, you get inspiration. So, you know, there's going to be some inspired games this year. Calgary going into BC, or BC going into Calgary. Saskatchewan, anybody who goes into Saskatchewan is going to be pumped, because they're going to know what they're up against.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think this year is going to be one of those years that it's going to be pretty equal across the board. Hard to say. I mean, every team's got the pressure. Edmonton made a lot of moves. I think, you know, they have the biggest, I would say they have the biggest challenge on their hands right now, is they want to get the faith of their fans back, and they want to do it with the off-season moves. I mean, they had to. They're still going to be paying the price for letting Ricky Ray go, so they're going to be hearing that until they get into the playoffs and have a good run at the Grey Cup. They're going to be hearing that for a long time. But so be it. That's just the way things go. BC, I think they feel like, you know, they should have been there. I think their fans expected them to be there. I know a lot of them bought Grey Cup tickets for Toronto because they anticipated BC being back in the Grey Cup. Calgary, I still think if Tate stays healthy, it's all about the quarterbacks, as we know, as Ricky Ray has proven. But they also have the other pieces that fit together. They were, you know, their defense didn't show up for the Grey Cup, so or maybe they just weren't good enough to challenge what Ricky Ray had to give out that day. But I see a lot of things. I still believe that Calgary, with Tate playing healthy the entire year, I still see them as the front runner out in the West.
Yeah, the West is going to be an interesting battle. The Canadian Football League is alive and well. John Granger, thank you again for sharing the spotlight with me here on the program. Most of all, the support that you've given me in putting this program together. And we're going to continue on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for more Candid Frank Live with John Granger and others who are willing to participate. It really isn't that hard. You can do it very easily. All you have to do is use your Skype button and make sure that you catch up to the live part of the show. Now, the other thing you can do is you can you can call in and listen to the program, and you will be live listening. As John knows, getting on Blog Talk Radio is not easy as a listener, and we appreciate that. All right, well, that's been, of course, another wonderful show, and I want to thank John Granger again. And for those of you that are listening live, thank you so much. For those that will be listening with the playback, we also appreciate your support. Thank you for supporting us and the CFL, the Canadian Football League. You've been watching Candid Frank Live.
The following is a message from the 2012 Grey Cup champions, your Toronto Argonauts. If you didn't hear your voice, there's still time to be a part of next year's crowd. It's okay to pile on. Get your 2013 season tickets today. Call 416-341-ARGO or go to argonauts.ca.
Argo!
Thank you for joining us tonight for the Candid Frank Live Show, heard on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 10:30 to 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great night, everyone. Yeah, yeah, yeah.